Dr. Williams and I have kind of set up a project to use animation in a way that would enhance children's phonological awareness or early reading skills. So we're focusing specifically on rhyming and how children can learn through an animated character rhyming skills that would help them learn how to start to read. Dr. Williams is the co-investigator and the person who's kind of guiding our project. There's also Dr. Barbara Eckelman, who's in pediatrics, and Jen, who is involved with the school that we're using to run our experiment. It's the Laurel School, and we're using two preschool classrooms to run the experiment. The inspiration from the project really comes from the work that I did with children with autism. And I tutored in a home program for three children with autism. And while we were tutoring and working on basic functions or whatnot, I realized that the kids really responded to animation. And they would sit in front of, you know, Little Bear and Barney, and they could script that language, and they could use that language, but they couldn't use other language functionally to say hi to their mom or to do that sort of thing. So the inspiration came from this idea that, is there a way we can tap into that motivation and the ability to learn the animated language and make that functional? As Dr. Williams kind of helped me shape the view of the experiment and the view of the project, we kind of realized that as a starting point, it would be good to use this animation on normal developing children and see where it kind of goes. And the hope is that the animation is going to be more motivating and more exciting for them to interact with, and therefore they'll take this rhyming piece and go from there. What it basically is like, how Dr. Williams describes it, is kind of like the Wizard of Oz. And the classroom teacher is going to sit outside the classroom, and using this software and a voice morphing component, their voice, the teacher's voice, will morph into the voice of the animated character, and the actions of the teacher will be picked up and will run real-time in the classroom as the actions of the animated character. So you use a tablet PC to make the character, you know, move up and down, jump, smile. His mouth moves in the same way that the person with the headset will move. It's incorporating another piece, the animation piece, into the classroom as they begin to work on their early reading skills. They're going to do a rhyming story. They're going to have rhyming scaffolding. They're going to read a rhyming, they're going to sing a rhyming song or jingle with this animated character. And these are the same things that the teacher would do if the teacher were in the classroom. So the nice part is that you're not so much changing the curriculum as you are just changing the method which it's being brought into the classroom. What the current research says on animation is that it's most effective at the younger ages. I believe that Dr. Williams and Dr. Eckelman will be taking a lot of this research further here. As far as my personal goals, I would like to get to that point where we bring the animation to the autism area. It takes a little bit more planning and a little bit more direct instruction of what you're going to target with children with autism. But I'd like at some point to bring the animation piece into that arena. Currently applying to graduate schools, and I think I want to be a speech language pathologist specifically in the areas of autism and mental retardation to develop functional language. So there's a lot of areas you can go into in speech pathology, and that's one area that I think you can choose to be your focus. I started as a sophomore in high school doing a camp for kids with muscular dystrophy, and as I started, I realized that I really had a passion to work with kids who had lots of different kinds of disabilities. And so it's kind of been a gradual process. At first I thought, you know, I'd like to do special ed, and then, you know, I came to Case Western, and then I realized the area of communication disorders, communication sciences, and thought that my talent's kind of best suited towards that area. So it's been a long developing process, and I feel as though when I go to grad school, just it'll continue to keep growing and changing. And I think one of the greatest things about the Experiential Learning Fellowship for me personally is that it's given me an opportunity to learn what a research experiment is like. And it's given me an opportunity to collaborate with professionals and learn the steps to go through the IRB process was a huge learning experience. To learn how to interact with distinguished faculty members who've published in many different journals, many different areas, was another learning experience. I think I also learned kind of the ins and outs of how research kind of takes on its own being. Like, you know, you may plan to get A, B, and C done in a certain time period, but it's just like you kind of have to roll with the punches and go along. So that was a learning experience. And I think the Experiential Learning Fellowship has helped me understand these things, and as I go into graduate school, I think I'll be much more prepared to be a research assistant or to be on a research team or to be doing a fellowship at a specific school. So I think it really provides you with an invaluable undergraduate experience.